Good.
Well, I'm going to keep this introduction short because I have my iPad ready to take notes. I hope you do too. And I know some of you are going to use devices. Some of you use paper. Some of you don't have paper. Ask the person in front of you. Get some notes. You need to take notes today because I know that Pastor Jeff has a word for us today. I am so grateful that you're here today as we dedicate this building, and I'm so excited that Pastor Jeff's here to do that. Let me take you back to June of 2010. Pastor Jeff did not know us well at all. He just knew our names and a little bit about us. But Pastor Jeff invited us to his table, and he embraced Rochelle and I and all he has done since that first day in June. This was before we even launched the church. He has fed us. He has encouraged us. He has counseled us. He has mentored us. But more than anything else, Jeff has been our friend. And he's been a friend and advocate for North Elevation Church ever since June of 2010. He is one of your biggest cheerleaders, is Pastor Jeff, here at North Elevation Church. I want to ask you, would you, it's not a big thing we do here, but I'm going to ask you to stand, and would you welcome Rochelle and I's pastor and our friend, Pastor Jeff Wickwire.
Thank you, Corey. And thank you, North Elevation. All right, this pretty lady sitting next to me is my wife, Cindy, who is definitely prettier than me and makes me look better. So anyway, it's good to have all of you. And my, hasn't it been a year? It's been 1 year since COVID hit. And here we are. And look what God did during a tough time. And I want to say how proud Cindy and I are of Corey and Rochelle, because they have given new meaning to the word perseverance, which I'm going to speak on for a little bit today, perseverance. But they've added more depth to it, width to it, height to it than a lot of people I know. Because, you know, when you go to start a church, without perseverance, you ain't going nowhere. You got to have perseverance. And so we're so proud of them and what God has done and how cool it is to have your own building. I mean, to not have to set up and tear down and set up and tear down. And I didn't even have to do it, and I hurt for you. But so it's a great day. We're going to dedicate the building to the Lord because, listen, God's going to do some strong things here. I believe that. And I want you to know that. I want you to be aware of that. And so I'm going to read out of, do you have it ready to go up here on the screen? Because Valerie did for me what I didn't do for myself. So I like for us to stand when we read the Word of God. Can we just stand and honor the Word of God as I read it? And I want to go to the book of Revelation, last book in the Bible, the beginning of the last book in the Bible, chapter 1. And let's see what happened as John was suddenly caught up in the Spirit. It says in verse 12 of chapter 1, when I turned to see who was speaking to me, of course it was the Lord, I saw 7 gold lampstands. And standing in the middle of the lampstands was someone like the Son of Man. That's what Jesus often called himself, you'll remember. He was a Son of Man, Son of God. He had different titles, but Son of Man was one of them. You read most about that in the book of Mark. So watch now. John says he's like the Son of Man. He was wearing a long robe with a gold sash across his chest. His head and his hair were white like wool. Hallelujah, glory to God. Amen, Pastor Corey. Makes me feel more like Jesus. Hallelujah. His head and his hair were white like wool, as white as snow. His eyes were like flames of fire. His feet were like polished bronze refined in a furnace. His voice thundered like mighty ocean waves. Everybody say awesome. Awesome. That's the resurrected Christ. Now, verse 16. He held 7 stars in his right hand, and a sharp two-edged sword came from his mouth. That's the word of God. And his face was like the sun in all of its brilliance. Wow, what a vision. Verse 17, when I saw him, understandably so, I fell at his feet as if I were dead. But he laid his right hand on me and said, don't be afraid. I'm the first and the last. I am the living one. I died, but look, I'm alive forever and ever. Amen. Amen. Powerful. And then, I hold the keys of death and the grave. Now he says to John, write down what you have seen. We're so glad John wrote it down because we have the book of Revelation. Write down what you have seen, both the things that are now happening and the things that will happen. Now, just so you'll know, book of Revelation deals with two things. What was happening at the time that John received this and what would happen way down the tunnel of time. So it is both forthtelling and foretelling, the book of Revelation. Now, verse 20, this is the meaning of the mystery of the seven stars. Everybody pay attention to this now. Here's the meaning of the mystery of the seven stars you saw in my right hand and the seven gold lampstands. The seven stars are the angels of the seven churches. And the seven lampstands are the seven churches. Powerful. I'm going to tell you what that means. Let's pray. Father, we come to you. This is your sacred word. And Lord, we thank you that it lives, it pulsates with life. It's quick and powerful. Now speak to us today out of heaven. Take the veil off our eyes and off our hearts. Help us to clearly see what you would say to us today. Lord, thank you for divine illumination and revelation. Thank you, Lord, for moving us forward based on your word to us today. Thank you, Lord, that this is going to cause the advancement of the kingdom in this church. We thank you, Lord, that you're going to move it forward based on your word today. In the mighty name of Jesus. Now, church, breathe a prayer and just say, Lord, speak to me. I receive with meekness your word. In Jesus' name, amen. Turn to your neighbor and tell him it's going to be good today. You better perk up and listen. Amen. Now. Amen. How many of you love the Word of God? You love the Word of God? There is no book like it. The Bible is the only book in the world, not from the world. But it was given by inspiration of God from heaven. Now, three things are going on in what we just read. First, we see Jesus, not as he was on earth, but as the glorified, exalted, resurrected Messiah. So he is very different. You know, the white hair, the flaming eyes. I mean, he is the word like thunder. He's just an awesome vision. It's not the little lamb, the Lamb of God that walked around and men abused him. Did miracles and all that, yes, but in the end, he was stomped on, brutalized, and bruised, and beaten, and crucified. But no, this is the Lion of Judah. This is the resurrected Christ. So that's the first thing we see. Second, he's seen standing in the midst of seven lampstands. All right? Now, the lampstands are identified by Jesus himself as seven churches. So how did Jesus see the church? As a lampstand. What's a lampstand? It's got a stand and a lamp in it, and it shines. It gives light into a dark place. So what is a church? It is a lamp that gives light into a dark place. That's the reason for church. We give light in a dark place, of course, spiritually speaking. And so there's the church is a lampstand. But then we also see seven stars being held in the right hand of Jesus. Notice he wasn't a lefty. I'm kidding. Just wanted to throw that out. Some of you didn't even get that. You're going, what did he say? Now, watch this. The seven stars are identified by Jesus as seven angels. So you have seven lampstands, which are the churches, and you have seven stars, which are called angels. But now the Greek word for angels is angelos, and it doesn't just mean angels like we think of the angels we see in the Bible, read about them moving and acting all the time. But the Greek word simply means messenger. That's all it means. Angelos is messenger. So we could put it this way. He's holding in his right hand seven messengers. Now, they can't have been literal angels. I know the translation calls them angels, But you could translate it easily. There were seven messengers in his right hand because real, literal angels don't make mistakes and they don't sin. And we're about to see the different churches either commended by the Lord or rebuked by the Lord, as well as those churches' leadership commended or rebuked by the Lord. And so clearly it's not talking about angels because they don't make mistakes. They don't sin. So what the seven stars are is the leadership of the church. It's the pastor of the church. And I believe you could lump in with him all the other leadership. It is the messengers that God sent to those churches. So you've got the churches and you've got the messengers. And we're about to see that God's got a lot to say. The Lord Jesus has a lot to say to these messengers. Matter of fact, the book of Revelation, first three chapters, is all about what Jesus has to say to the messengers and to the churches of that time. Now, I want you to notice that if you read the first three chapters and he talks to seven churches, Jesus addresses seven churches, you will find that he says one thing to all of them. The very same thing to all of them. He says, I know your works. To every one of them. First thing out of his mouth. To every one of them. Ephesus, Smyrna, Pergamos, Philadelphia, all of them. He says, I know your works. I know your works. Nothing gets past the flaming eyes of the one who is seen in the Bible, in the first chapter of Revelation, standing in the midst of the seven churches. He's in the midst of any church that names his name. He's in the midst. And that lampstand is you and me. We're the light of the world, the salt of the earth, as Jesus said in Sermon on the Mount. And we're also the messengers, the angelos, the angels, if you will, that he has put there to be messengers. Messengers of his word, messengers of his truth. And he says, I want you to know that nothing gets past me. I know your works. Nothing gets past me. Those words, I know your works, those four words, ought to put the fear of God in every pastor. It ought to put the fear of God in every church because he knows our works. That means he knows our deeds. He knows where we are spiritually. He knows the spiritual temperature of every single church that names his name. We know this because he says to the church in Laodicea, I know your works. You're not hot. You're not cold. You're lukewarm. When I take your temperature, you're just lukewarm. And I wish you were hot or I wish you were cold. Get with it or don't get with it at all. But quit being in the middle and riding the fence because I know your temperature. So, sobering words there. Strong words there. And as you read through the first three chapters of Revelation, you see him. With every church, he's got a different word. With every church, aside from I know your works, but with every one of those churches, Jesus knew something about every one of them. We will see that five of the seven, he has both commendations and rebukes. Two of them don't get any rebuke. They only get commendation. But he knows something. He knows things about every one of them. So when I read those words, I wonder, what does he see when he looks at Turning Point? And I do bring you greetings from Turning Point. But what does he see? What would Jesus say to me if I could just get him here and say, Lord, you talk to the seven churches in Revelation. What do you see with Turning Point? What's our temperature in your mind? What do you see, Lord? Do you see good? Do you see bad? Things that are okay? Things that need to be fixed? What do you see? Because I guarantee you, he sees it like he sees everything about these seven churches. He knows. He's got x-ray vision. He knows where we are. He knows what we believe. He knows what we have on the front burners of our vision. He knows what we do. He knows your deeds. He knows your works. Now, some of you are grabbing the side of your chair thinking he's about to rip into us and give us all these negatives out of the book of Revelation, but I'm not. I want to show you three positive characteristics that Jesus praised. How many of you are ready for that? You want to know three positive characteristics that Jesus praised in these churches? As he looked at these churches, he said, boy, you're doing this right, you're doing this right, and you're doing this right. So I want to give you, instead of the things wrong, I want to give you the things right. I want to show you what Jesus said was good and was advantageous for the church furthering the kingdom of God in that day. Amen. So here they are. I want you to say them with me. Perseverance. The second thing was keeping the faith. The third thing was keeping his name. Now, this is straight out of the Bible. This is not a Jeffism. This is straight out of the Bible. I'm reading the book of Revelation, and I'm seeing what the Lord commended in these churches. So let me just take the first one, perseverance. Jesus recognizes and commends perseverance in several of his churches. Now, what's perseverance? It's when you keep on going under a load. That's what it means. You keep on going. You don't give up. You don't put up the white flag. You do not toss in the towel. You do not walk away. You don't give up on prayer. You don't give up on Jesus. You don't give up on the gospel. You don't give up on your vision. You don't give up on your assignment, but you stay with it. You persevere under a load. All right? Now, to the Ephesians, he says this, I know your works. There it is. I know your works. I know your labor. I know your perseverance. And you have persevered. Notice that. You have persevered. Who noticed that? Jesus. You have persevered and you have patience. And you have labored for my name's sake and have not become weary, meaning you have not given up. So when Jesus looked at the Ephesian church, he said, here's what I see. Let me commend you. You have persevered. You have not walked away, folded up your tent, and gone home. You haven't picked up your marbles and gone home and said, well, church was good for a while, but I'm done with all that mess. No, 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 no. He said, you persevered and you were patient. To the church in Thyatira, Jesus says, I know your works, love, service, faith, and your patience. So clearly, perseverance, having a spine, refusing to give up, looking to the Lord for your strength, no matter what people say or do, no matter what the culture says or does, you, no matter what's happening around you, you say, I have put my foot down to walk with the Lord. I have given myself to this assignment. I will not give up. I will not go home. I will not walk away. I will not put up the white flag. I will persevere because without it, no church will ever be built. That's why Jesus said, perseverance is a characteristic of the church that blesses me. Amen. Now, since it's mentioned so often, to these churches in the book of Revelation, it must be that perseverance is really needed in building a church because that's what they were. They were churches. They were building a church. They were the first churches in the entire church era. And so Jesus looks at them and he says, look, you are models now for all churches to come because you don't know it, Philadelphia. You don't know it, those of you in Ephesus or in Thyatira. But the church is going to be around for a very long time. And what John writes down, as far as what I show him into the book of Revelation, is going to be read by millions and millions and millions and millions of believers through the ages. And I want them to see that the local church that was blessed in my eyes was a church that persevered. Persevered. And man, if there was ever a time when the church is going to have to persevere, it's now. You know, I've been pastoring a long time. I've been pastoring 37 years. And I want to tell you, the America that I started pastoring in and the America that I'm looking at now are not the same America. No, it's a very, very different world. It's a very, very different church. It's very, very different challenges. And I'm going to tell you straight up, the challenges that we face now are greater than the ones that were there when I first started. And so I know this. I know that I'm telling you the truth when I tell you that the church is going to have to get strong, get a spine, set its face like a flint, and refuse to give up in tough times because it's tough times and it's going to get tougher because our culture is changing. But praise God, remember, we're a lampstand and we're supposed to shine into the dark. So the darker it gets out there, the brighter it's going to get in here and we're going to shine. We're going to shine. We're going to shine. Now, the Bible tells us that they persevered through several things, and it tells us what it was they persevered through. First of all, they persevered through the evil of their time. Listen to what the Bible says. Jesus says to them, "You cannot bear those who are evil." In other words, you have set your face against the evil of the times. Evil times, full of evil deeds and evil people, had required perseverance on the part of the church of that day. If they were going to survive, they were going to have to face the evil and refuse to be intimidated by the evil and refuse to back down because of the evil, or refuse to compromise with the evil to go along to get along. But they persevered during the evil of their time. They said, no matter what the culture is doing, we're the church. No matter what is happening out there, I know what's supposed to be happening in here. And no matter how rough it is out there, we're going to shine and we're going to move forward no matter how evil it gets. And folks, it's getting more and more evil and more crazy out there all the time. If my dad were here, now my dad was a natural conservative. He wasn't a strong believer most of his life, but he was a conservative guy. And he's in heaven now. But if my dad, if I could bring him back right now, Pastor Corey, he wouldn't believe America. He would not believe what has happened. He would not believe that Dr. Seuss has been banned. He would not believe that Mr. Potato Head has been called evil. He would not believe that light is dark and dark is light and bad is good is bad, that evil is righteous and righteous is evil. He would not believe what has happened to our culture. But I'm going to tell you, folks, it's getting more and more evil out there and depraved and crazy than ever before. But what does it say? They persevered in the evil of their times. They did not let the evil of their times back them down. They moved forward in their teaching, in their preaching, in their building, and in their resolve to fulfill their assignment and the Great Commission. Now, second, they also had to persevere through attacks from false apostles and false prophets. Listen to what Jesus said. "And you have tested those who say they are apostles and they are not, and you have found them liars." In other words, they practice discernment. I want everybody to say with me, discernment. They practice discernment. If you were to say to me, "Jeff, what is the greatest need for the church today?" I would tell you without even having to think, discernment. We need discernment. We need discernment. Because false teachings and false prophets, Jesus predicted in Matthew 24 four times. Four times in one chapter, Jesus said, "Beware of false prophets. Beware of false Christs. Beware of deceivers. Beware of false prophets." Four times in one chapter, when he was predicting the characteristics of the last days, he said, in the last days, there's going to be famines. He said it once. There's going to be earthquakes. He only said that once. There's going to be persecution. He only said that once. But when he talked about deceivers, he said it four times. Watch out for deceivers, false prophets. False teachings and false prophets are going to seek to infiltrate the church. And they sought to infiltrate the early church. And Jesus commends them. He says, "You didn't put up with it. You exercised discernment. And you tested what you heard. And you tested what you saw." The Bible says, "Despise not prophesying, but test all things." Well, we got the first part, great. We don't despise prophesying, but when it comes to testing it, sometimes we're dumb and dumber. We don't do anything. We don't put it to the test. But see, Jesus is commending this church for testing, for exercising discernment. You know, I heard a preacher say recently, Corey, every pastor has two hats. One hat is to feed the sheep. He's got his hand out to feed the sheep. But in the other hand, and the other hat that he puts on, is it's a stick to ward off wolves. So these days, you got to have one hand stretched out to feed the sheep, and you got to have another hand holding a weapon to ward off the wolves. Because Jesus said they're going to try to infiltrate the church, that if possible, they would deceive even the very elect. So notice that because they practiced discernment, Jesus commended them. The Apostle Peter warned, "But there were also false prophets among the people, just as there will be false teachers among you." Did Peter say that, or am I reading it wrong? Who's he talking to here? Is he talking to the world? No, he's talking to you and me. Who's the you? You. You's guys. And me. Who's he talking to? You. There were also false, he's talking about the Old Testament here. There were false prophets among the people. We know there were. It's all through the prophets, all through the Old Testament. But then he says, just as there will be false teachers among you. They'll come in looking like sheep, but there are wolves underneath the sheep disguise. Why does somebody put on a sheep disguise? Because they want you to think they're a sheep. They want you to think they're a sheep, but they're not. And so Jesus commended these churches for practicing discernment. To another church, he says, look, you've got people there that believe in the doctrine of the Nicolaitans, which was a cult, and the doctrine of Balaam, which was false teaching, and you have allowed this prophetess Jezebel to seduce my servants. And so to two other churches, he rebuked them because they did not practice discernment. He said, what are you doing allowing the Nicolaitan doctrine in there? What are you doing allowing the Balaam doctrine in there? What are you doing allowing sin to run rampant in the church through Jezebel? He said, you ought to shut it down. And Jesus said, I want you to repent. Repent for not practicing discernment. Folks, there's so much deception out there these days. You got to keep your nose in the Word, and then you got to keep your nose in the Word, and then you've got to keep your nose in the Word. And know it better than you know anything else in the world. Can I have an amen here today? Are y'all with me? Are you with me? He said, many will follow their depraved conduct, and they will bring the way of truth into disrepute. In their greed, these teachers will exploit you with fabricated, made-up stories. Their condemnation has long been hanging over them, and their destruction has not been sleeping. So the church, God blesses, will persevere through attacks from an evil culture without and from wolves within. Perseverance. Everybody say perseverance. Amen. Now, the second thing, let me move along quickly. The second characteristic of the church that God blesses is they keep the faith. Keep the faith. Can you say that with me? Keep the faith. To the church at Pergamos, Jesus says, I know your works, that you hold fast to my name, and you have not denied my faith. To Philadelphia, he said, I know your works. You have kept my word. That's the same as my faith. And have not denied my name. So Jesus commends the churches that refuse to back down from not just any faith, but I love the way he puts it, the faith. My faith. The faith. Most of you know the verse from Jude when Jude says, I want you to earnestly contend. Talking to the church now. I want you to earnestly contend for the faith. Not any faith, the faith. He adds the in front of it to let us know that it's unique and above any other faith. The faith, the one and only faith, the only true faith, the faith in Jesus Christ. I want you to earnestly contend for the faith once for all delivered to the saints. Contend means to wrestle, Pastor Corey. It means to wrestle. And once for all delivered means no change in it is possible. In other words, the faith that has been delivered to you and to me is not to be negotiated, changed, added to, taken from. It has been once for all completely and fully and thoroughly and perfectly delivered to the saints. The faith. Amen. So we're to enter into a spiritual wrestling ring. How many of you are aware that there is a great battle going on in America right now for the faith? The faith. Because the faith is under fire in the college campuses. It's under fire in the high schools. It's under fire in junior high. It's under fire in the elementary schools. It's under fire in the workplace. It's under fire in sports. There's not a place you can go in America and trumpet and brag on the faith without coming under persecution. The faith is under fire. So what's God looking for? He's looking for wrestlers. He's looking for wrestlers who will say, no, you're not going to trample on my faith, the faith, my Lord Jesus. No, I'm going to take a stand and I will battle this with words and with prayer and with the truth of the Bible. I am not going to lay down and let the faith be trampled, stolen from the minds of my children, stolen from the minds of my culture, but I'm going to take a stand for the faith. I'm going to plant my feet and you are not going to move me. Having done all, I'm going to stand. I'm going to put on the full armor of God, and I'm going to stand. I'm not going to back down. I'm not going to bend. I'm not going to break. I'm not going to apologize. I'm taking a stand for the faith. Everybody say the faith. Now, what is the faith? Simple. God so loved the world. He gave his only begotten. Begotten means one of a kind. One of a kind. His only one of a kind begotten son. That whoever believes on him will not perish, but have everlasting life. That's the faith. Salvation is found in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven given to mankind by which we must be saved. So that means the church that God commends and blesses, especially in these last days, will be the church that holds out the gospel all the time. You know what's on the front burner of my church? The gospel. God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten son. Do you know how many churches, hear me, church, please, watch this now. Do you know how many churches out there, and I'm talking some of them big churches, mega churches, if you get saved in them, it's by accident. Because they don't get up and say, God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten son. They don't say you need to repent. They don't say you've got to come to Christ, he's the only way. He's the truth. He's the life. Oh, no, no, no. They won't do anything to offend people out there in the audience because they want a crowd more than they want truth. But no, no, no. The church that God blesses is the church that doesn't give up the faith. But no, front burner. God so loved the world. Can we say it together? God so loved the world. He gave his only begotten son. Whoever believes on him would not perish, but have everlasting life. And Paul said in Romans 1, the power of God is wrapped up in that gospel. The gospel is the power of God unto salvation. So they didn't give up the faith, but they kept it front burner. They kept it right out there in the forefront. And that's what they were all about. If you went to that church, you were going to hear the gospel. If you went to that church, you were going to hear about Jesus Christ spilling his blood for you and me. You were going to hear about the faith. And lastly, the name. The church that God blesses will keep his name. Listen to what Jesus said to Pergamos. He said, I know your works, and you hold fast to my name. To Philadelphia, he says, I know your works. You have kept my word and have not denied my name. How strange that the Lord would point that out. Why would you tell a church that's there because of him, hey, way to go, you haven't given up on my name. Why would you need to do that? Why would you need to go to a church and say, hey, wow, you haven't let go of the faith and you haven't let go of the name? Why? Because they were under constant pressure to not preach the name of Jesus. Because there's power in that name. There's healing in that name. There's deliverance in that name. There is light in that name. There is salvation in that name. There is breakthrough in that name. It's the name above every other name that is named in heaven and earth and under the earth. There's no other name like Jesus Christ. He is the one and only Savior of the world. And his name is feared by hell and loved in heaven. His name is precious to you and to me. His name. He said, I'm so glad you have not given up. And I commend you for not giving up my name. There's a dangerous movement happening today as I come to a close. Dangerous movement. And it's in the name of ecumenism and unity. Now watch this. It claims, and it's a big movement. Many of the denominational churches have fallen to this movement. Here it is. It claims that if you have genuine love, you will embrace all faiths and spiritual icons as equal. There's music. Am I supposed to close? I thought you were telling me something. Because I'm almost done. I'm waiting for a cane to come out. It's been a while since I experienced that. Okay. No, here we go. Here it is. It claims that if you have genuine love, then all faiths are equal. And because we want to be unified. We want to all, can't we all just get along? Can't we all just fellowship together? Doesn't matter which way to heaven, as long as you've got some way. So Jesus, Buddha, Muhammad, Confucius, Dalai Lama, Krishna are all on equal footing to this movement. If you say there's only one way and one name to get yourself into heaven, you'll be persecuted, ostracized, mocked, ridiculed, made fun of, criticized. If you say there's only one name, but Jesus commended two of his churches for holding fast to his name. Holding fast to his name and all that his name implies. That there's no other way to heaven but that name. There's no other name given among men by which we must be saved. The disciples were commanded by the Pharisees and religious leaders when they persecuted them. They said, stop preaching in that name. We don't care what you go out and say, but don't preach in that name. Because they knew the name was the hinge upon which the church swung. It was the name. It was the name. And they said, you know what? We must obey God rather than you. So everybody stand up with me, would you? Say with me, the church God blesses will persevere in the battle. Keep the faith. Keep the name. Keep the name. Now, I believe that with all of my heart. If you want to know what I'm planning for Turning Point, our church, I'm planning to do exactly what I preach to you. We're going to go forward with the gospel this year. We're going to reach as many as we possibly can. We're going to hold up the name where if you get anywhere, you get within a square mile of our church, you're going to hear about the blood of Jesus and the name of Jesus. You're going to hear the gospel because that's how people get saved. Amen? So here's what I pray for this church, North Elevation, Pastor Corey and Rochelle, all the leadership. Remember, Jesus talked to the angels. These are things he said to the messengers. The messengers. Keep my name. Keep my faith. Don't give up. Go forward. And he says it to the whole congregation. So I want to see, and I know it's already being done, but Pastor Corey and Rochelle have a whole new boldness, though they're already bold, to bring that name. But more than that, I want to see trickle down. Trickle down. Where we don't have two lives, one here and one out there. We don't compartmentalize our faith. But the way we are in here is the way we are out there. And if we're lifting up Jesus in here, let's lift up Jesus out there. You know, we had a, Cindy and I are getting ready to move to Burleson. And we've been getting our, amen. we've been getting our house ready to sell. And so we've had all kinds of construction workers in there. I mean, I haven't had a house in 8 weeks. Bang, 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 you know, just people everywhere. But one of the head guys, long hair, ponytail, definitely not a sold out Christian, but he got sick. He got real sick. And we called him. We said, hey, would you mind if we just prayed for you? Oh. He goes, I guess not. And so on the phone, we both got together and we just prayed for him to be healed. Well, do you know that later he gave me a discount? Now, that's not why I did it. That is not why I did it. But I could tell, it'd been a long time since anybody said to him, can I pray for you? And we prayed for him. We didn't pray in the name of Buddha. We didn't pray in the name of Confucius or Krishna or Muhammad. We prayed in the name of Jesus. And it got real quiet over that phone. And he didn't even know how to respond. Well, thanks a lot, man. Hey, praise God. But we can't compartmentalize it. Because have you noted, the world's not compartmentalizing where they are. Oh, no. Who they are in the workplace is exactly who they are out there in the workaday world and in their private life. So I encourage you to be contagious. We talk about COVID, being contagious with it. How about being contagious with Jesus? Getting out there and being contagious. You get too close to me, you're liable to catch it. And I'm not going to wear a mask. Yeah, I'm not a mask Christian. Oh, no, no, I'm going to get out there. I'm contagious. You get too close to me, it may rub off on you. So I want to just say to all of you, see, I believe God wants this place packed and then going into two services. But the only way it's going to happen is they can do what they can do, but then you got to get out there and be contagious. Be contagious. You're the light of the world. You're the salt of the earth. You don't light a candle, put it under a bushel. Can I have my Bible there, please, Cindy? So I'm giving a little exhortation to you because I'm going to do my own church the same way. So let's get out there, folks. Time is short. Jesus is near. The devil is out there doing things to people that is horrible. And we need to get out there and just share the light. And if you know John 3:16, that's enough. You don't have to have a degree. You don't have to be eloquent. You don't have to be pretty. You don't have to be handsome. You don't have to be any of that. You just have to know something. John 3:16. Amen? Now, I'm going to dedicate the building. And I was reading, and I'll just tell you, in Numbers 7, verse 1, Moses is dedicating the tabernacle. They dedicated the tabernacle. That was the big tent, okay, in the wilderness. Then later, once the kingdom was established in the promised land, David had come and gone, and Solomon had taken it. Solomon built the temple. And in the same way they had dedicated the tabernacle, they dedicated the temple. And when they dedicated the temple, the power of God fell and God owned it. And God blessed it. And they couldn't even stand on their feet when they dedicated the temple. But that was Old Testament. Amen? How many of you know we're in the New Covenant? Hello? Do we know we're in the New Covenant? So what am I saying? In the New Covenant, God doesn't live in a building, dwell in a building. You're the building. You are the building. Amen? He dwells in you. Now, we have a wonderful building here. I'm so glad for it. But it's only to house the building within a building. It's to house you. You're the building. This is all going to burn up, but you're not. Aren't you glad you're not going to burn up? Amen? So let me read it to you, and then I'm going to pray. Now, therefore, you are no longer strangers and foreigners, but you are fellow citizens with the saints and the members of the household of God. Here's who you are, having been built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone. Now, watch this, in whom the whole building. Now, he's saying there's this kind of building and there's this kind of building. In whom, you're the whom, the whole building being fitted together grows into a holy temple in the Lord. New Testament doesn't know anything about a building where God dwells. It knows everything about a people in whom God dwells. Like I said, buildings are just to house you. And so he says, in whom you also are being built together for a dwelling place of God in the Spirit. So how is it that the Holy Spirit comes in here when we worship? He didn't come into a building. He's coming out of you. He's in you. You're the building. This is just the shell we meet in. It's a good shell, but it's a shell. I've got a shell. People spend $100 million on a shell. But the real building is you. Are you aware of that? You're the temple. the building of God, and he dwells in you. And he comes out of you if you let him out. He gets out of you. Now, I want to pray that God continues as we dedicate this building, but God not only fills this building, but keeps filling you where it spills out into the highways and the hedges, and people start coming because you reach them. You can reach somebody nobody else can reach. You're going to reach people I'll never reach. But you can. So I want to pray for you. And I'm going to ask Corey and Rochelle to come down here. And can I get the leadership team? Elders, all of you, just come down. Come down here. And Cindy, if you would come up here with me. Amen. Now, I'm so thankful that you have a building. Really and truly, I am. I can't tell you the times I've prayed for Corey and Rochelle to get a building. But you know what? It's great to have a building, but the best building I'm looking at.
That's right.
The dwelling place of God is you. Amen? So I want to pray over this building and over this leadership. I guess I better go down here and where I can face them. All right? I feel funny. All their backs are to me. Okay. So I want all of you to put your hands up towards the leadership here. And let's dedicate both buildings, this one and you. Lord, we just thank you for the blessing of God. Thank you, Lord, for the church you bless. Thank you for bringing us thus far. Thank you, Lord, that we have not labored in vain. But Lord, here we see two buildings, a physical building and a spiritual house. And Lord, I pray for the increase of both. Lord, we dedicate the physical building first. You gave us this building solely to house your building, the church. And so, Lord, we just pray your blessing on this building. We dedicate it to you as Moses dedicated the tabernacle. And Solomon dedicated the temple. Lord, we dedicate this building that every nook and cranny of it will be used for the glory of God. Every square inch of it will be used to reach people. That, Lord, you will move in great power. That, Lord, you will draw people out of the north, out of the south, out of the east, and from the west. That you will command them to come. That you will fill this place with your house, your building, your temple, the people of God. So we dedicate, Lord, the children's area. We dedicate the sanctuary. We dedicate the land. We pray that, Lord, you would give us total ownership. We pray that you will give us total ownership. And that, Lord, this building will be used as a light, a light, a light, a city on a hilltop. And the Lord, it will become known for where God moves. And we commit it to you, Lord, every bit of it, every chair. Lord, every bit of it. Thank you, Lord, for providing all the equipment we're going to need. Thank you, Lord, for your future provision. But right now, we dedicate this house to you. And now, Lord, we dedicate the second house, the spiritual house, the church, the body, that you have fitted together here. And we pray, Lord, that it will continue to grow as you said it would grow into the fullness of the stature of Christ. We pray, Lord, that, Lord, you will anoint Pastor Corey and Rochelle and all of their team to build up a body of believers that are mature, that are not blown about by every wind of doctrine and the cunning craftiness of men, whereby they lie in wait to deceive. But Lord, they will be built up a spiritual house, giving glory to God, holding forth the name, holding forth the faith, holding forth the assignment, and Lord, finishing, as Paul said, finishing the race to the glory of God. Not limping across the finish line, Lord, not dragging across the finish line, not crawling across the finish line, but running across it, breaking the tape. We pray for it, Lord, in the mighty name of Jesus. In the mighty name of Jesus. Now, Lord, I just turn and I bless this body. Lord, we bless this body of believers right now. We pray for supernatural increase, for supernatural boldness, for supernatural power. Lord, for the light of Jesus to shine through every one of them as the building of God. We pray your blessing on them and that, Lord, you'll give them boldness that when we walk out of this building, we're bold in the highways, bold in the hedges, bold to go out and give an invitation to know Jesus, bold to go out and share the riches of Jesus Christ. And, Lord, let every one of them become an evangelist. An evangelist to share the gospel of Jesus Christ. An evangelist, Lord. We thank you, Lord, that COVID won't stop it, that, Lord, setbacks won't stop it, that needs won't stop it. Lord, but you have your hand on this congregation. Now, Lord, give it divine increase. Give it divine increase. Cindy and I, Lord, we just stretch our hand across them, Lord, and we pray your blessing on everyone, every one of them, every one of them. Can you put your hands up in the air and say, Lord, I receive today a fresh commissioning to share Jesus, to invite people, to not keep Jesus to myself, to share it, preach it, teach it, declare it, proclaim it everywhere I go. In the mighty name of the Lamb of God. And now, Lord, I lay my hands on Corey and Rochelle. Lord, I just pray for a fresh touch. Lord, they've come this far by faith. Now, Lord, take them from this place, from this point, with fresh vision, fresh fire, fresh purpose, fresh resolve, fresh strength to go forward, Lord, and build this house. Build this spiritual house. Build this spiritual house. To the glory of God. Jack, come around, because Jack is very prophetic. And just pray, Jack, for a minute. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Mm-hmm. Yes, Lord.
Thank you, Lord. And I see, even earlier in the service, I see the word abundance. Abundance for this church. Not just for these two, but for this church. I see abundance. But abundance doesn't always mean gold and silver and things and possessions. Abundance means abundance of the Spirit of the living God. Yeah. I see that. I see that on this church. Abundance of the Spirit of the living God on this church. I see that abundance. I see it going forth now to each and every one. Yeah. And as they walk in the door, there's an abundance of love here. There's abundance of goodness here. There's an abundance of the gospel here. And it just oozes out of this place. It's like it going forth out of the doors and out of the windows. It oozes out of the place. The abundance of God. The abundance of God is here, and it is here, and it brings forth blessing. It brings forth healing, and it brings forth deliverance. And the abundance of God permeates this place. And I thank you for that, Lord. I thank you for that. Thank you.
Amen, 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 amen. And so everybody, let's just say together, so let it be done as we have prayed, according to the will of God, for all the promises of God. Our yes and amen through Jesus Christ. Amen. Give the Lord a hand of praise. Amen, amen, amen. Amen.
Be seated for a moment. Does the message sound familiar? God is speaking. He continues to speak to us. And as I like to say it, he is not going to let us off the hook. We've got to go be the church. Amen. I saw two people that didn't make their way down. They probably thought there wasn't room down here, but I want to recognize them. James and Christy Withers are back there. They're on our leadership team. Would you stand up? A lot of people don't realize James is on our economic board. Remember? And they're with us today, and it's good to see them. They've had a lot going on. It's good to see you this morning. If you're a guest with us for the first time, I want to encourage you to stop by our Connection Center. You may have already received a bag. I see some of you have one of our gift bags. There's a special gift in there for you. You want to look for that. It's a gourmet pizza. You definitely want to find that. That's in that bag. And also, we'd encourage you to fill out your connection card. We promise you, you're not going to get a whole bunch of phone calls and a lot of emails, but we will make a simple contact with you and just check in with you and just want to get to know you a little bit better. But fill that card out as you're comfortable on how much of it you want to do, and just drop it off back at the Connection Center. We'd greatly appreciate that this morning for you to do that, just so we'll know you were here and let you know how much we appreciate your visit with us today. Church, are you ready for the promises of God to manifest? God's made us some significant promises, and we're going to see all of them fulfilled. Amen? Thank you for being here today. Pastor Jeff and Cindy will be here. You can speak to them because we're going to come out and speak to you. But right now, you are dismissed, and have an amazing day sharing Jesus. Amen.